This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on a Friday here on the Team 980. We're loaded up. NBA All-Star Weekend is around the corner / starts tonight. Other big basketball night, unrivaled, the one-on-one tournament. Can Aliyah Edwards bring it home? That'll be a lot of fun to watch tonight as well. And then, of course, we got some NFL news. We got some local news, if you will, as the mayor all of a sudden just popped out last night and decided she was going to unveil some plans for the RFK site and what she would like it to be. So before we get too deep into that conversation, coming up in about 10 minutes, Eric Flack from WUSA9, he is, for all intents and purposes, the owner of that story. There's no one who is more on top of all that kind of stuff than Eric. He is going to join us coming up in just a few. But it is a Friday. It is Valentine's Day. Anthony, super producer Anthony Haney, are you feeling love today?
Am I feeling love today?
Yeah, on this Valentine's Day. I feel like that's an important thing.
I mean, Valentine's Day, to me, it's just, I'm not going to say it's just another day, but I feel like if you're, you know, celebrating whoever you're with, you know, you should be doing it every day kind of thing.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good sentiment, but you always want to make it. I feel like that's a hard balance to get. Take it from an old married man. He's been married for a whopping 2.5 years. Yes. But you do want to try to make things extra special. You do want to make sure you make your person feel special every day, but you also want to make some days extra special. The monotony is never even if you're monotonously good to your partner, which is you should be, monotony ultimately is monotonous. So you gotta find something to do every once in a while.
Oh no, definitely. You should definitely be doing something.
But also, don't always just wait for the holiday. We went on a little dinner date last weekend.
Look, there you go. Check it out.
It was restaurant week, and we're like, let's go take advantage.
Should be 365, man.
I'll even shout out where we went. The Duck and the Peach.
Hey now.
One of the best. You've been there?
No.
Oh, it's in Southeast, over in the Union Market, not Union Market, Eastern Market neighborhood.
Oh, that's move.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal spot. We've been there quite a few times. It's so good. So there you go. Shout out to the Duck and the Peach. If anyone from the Duck and the Peach is listening and they want to sponsor the show or just host me more often, I'm happy to come. See, that's not a, what is it called? Payola? The thing that's illegal? You're not allowed to give free stuff in exchange for stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't given me anything. I'm just asking them to. And then they'd actually have to. Anyway, the point is, I'm begging. I'm begging. Anything else you have to say about Valentine's Day? Should we just get to the RFK stuff?
I think the RFK stuff.
Probably. Also, by the way, Anthony, you're still getting love on the internet. We're up to 489,000 views.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't double what we did yesterday, Craig.
Yeah, literally almost double. Well, here's the poll question of the day on the Team 980 on the Hoffman Show. Will the TikTok of Anthony Haney guessing Taylor Swift lyric or Jalen Hurts quote get to 500,000 views by the end of the show today?
500. I think so. I would take that bet if I was a betting man.
We are rolling right now. It does not seem to be slowing down. Literally every time I refresh my screen, it's got a couple hundred, if not a couple thousand more views, depending on how long in between screen refreshes, you know?
Yeah.
I am really enjoying the Swifties being like, I got 5 out of 5.
Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it.
I definitely need to remind me in the commercial break, Anthony, to drop the link to the full video the comments.
I got to
need to do that. So some preliminary thoughts on what the mayor announced last night. And I will just be transparent with the audience. I have already taped with Eric. Eric and I taped about an hour or started taping about an hour ago. So you'll hear this, me say this again in the interview with Flack. But, you know, I click on this new website that they've got, for this RFK, and they're like rfk.dc.gov or whatever the website is, and the plans. And the first thing that stands out to me, and is this important in the long term? No, but it does, I think, speak to a larger issue at play here. The first thing I notice, Anthony, is that they have the Washington Spirit logo from 2 years ago that the team no longer uses. And I know that is a very silly thing to be the most important thing to take away. That's clearly not the headline here. It's clearly not the lead. It's clearly not the most important thing, but it does speak to why I think people get really frustrated with stuff of like, hey, if we're going to embark on this multi-billion-dollar project and we're going to have some level of trust in government to get this done, and specifically in DC city government, where there's been all kinds of chicanery over the years, then like, can we get the basics right? When you make your big giant graphic with all of the teams in town, can you make sure you get the right logos in? Like, it's that kind of stuff where you're just like, oh my God. And as someone who wants this to happen in DC and like wants the mayor to find the best deal, it just feels like, you know, will you actually put the right people in place to get the details right of making sure, obviously the Commanders will have a huge impact on what they want in the stadium. And I think Josh Harris and his team has already shown, you know, Josh talked about this at the season ending press conference. He and his team have gone to every single Commanders game, and they don't just go because they want to cheer on the team and be there and be supportive of the players. They're going on stadium tours at like, especially all of the new places. Like when you go play in Las Vegas or LA or, you know, all of these places, Dallas, even, you know, that stadium's almost a decade or maybe even over a decade old. It definitely is over a decade old at this point, but it's still like a pretty cutting edge modern stadium. And there's aspects of all of these stadiums that you want to take, or, hey, we were trying to execute this. And Josh can be like, we'll do a better job of that. Or like, oh, did a great job. Let's make sure that we write that down on our notepad. Like the Commanders are going to get the football stadium part right because their ownership group is really smart and they're detailed and whatever. But I think for a lot of other people, like the most important thing is the other stuff. And if we can't trust you to get basic details right on your first impression presentation, then that doesn't speak well to your ability to get the stuff right in the long term. And I think that's just like a generally frustrating thing about government. I am someone, political take incoming. I'm someone who believes government can do a lot of good. It is an enormous force. It recruits experts. Like, I am someone who believes that government is capable of, and there are plenty of examples of here and around the world, of government helping people doing good. I also am an adult and awake and pay attention and know that sometimes the best argument against government is watching government fall on its face. And that's the same true, like in private business. Private businesses fall on their face all the time. Like they're all run, you know, publicly or privately by human beings who are fallible and human and make mistakes or whatever. But when you put forth your first impression of, hey, we want to make a presentation that is appealing to folks to try to convince you that we should pay a little bit more money to have a stadium in DC and that we can trust you to build the housing and the restaurants and the green spaces and take this 170 whatever acres that has been sitting vacant forever and do something good with it. And your first impression looks like a high school freshman put together a website. And by the way, one of the logos is 2 years outdated. Like, why would I want to entrust you to run a billion-dollar project? And I think that stuff, like, it's really frustrating. And I think that there needs to be a real, like, better seriousness about this. And I think sometimes Mayor Bowser really gets in her own way in terms of presenting some of these things publicly, because she just is not a very, like, she comes off as such a political actor. She's an incredibly smart woman. I often am very impressed when I hear her in interviews, and but she is definitely comes off as a politician, which she is, but that she's got her talking points, and I wish this was better done, I guess, is ultimately, like, my number one thing when I look at this, like, as someone who wants to see this happen and is even willing to, like, pay a little bit more in whatever tax to see it happen as a district resident, because I think having the team in the stadium in D.C., like, is good. I would love to conveniently be able to get to RFK in the same way that I can get to Capital One Arena on a metro. I just wish it looked like it wasn't put together by a 10th grader.
So your biggest, like, problem is more so the layout
There's not enough details yet to get mad about any of the details, yeah. Right? So, like, and we'll get into this with Flack. I'll get into some of the details on the back end of the interview with Flack. But, like, for instance, the affordable housing question, it needs to be asked. And the details become really important. And that's where people's eyes glaze over and, oh, God, sunset provisions.
What's affordable,
and this,
though? Like,
and then what's affordable?
Is it equivalent to Navy Yard? Because Navy Yard, for me, I'm a D.C. resident. I wouldn't live here. And I work two, you know, different jobs. Like, you would, and I still would not work. I mean, live down here.
You work two jobs. You would save on commuting a bunch of money by. So, like, there's a built-in discount of living in Navy Yard, and you're still like, nah.
Yeah.
But Eric, actually, let's do this. Flack and I get into how some of that stuff works and why you have to pay attention to the details. So, I will get more into the smaller picture and some of the details on the back end of this. Mm-hmm. But I want to let folks hear directly from someone who's been covering this for a long time and who was at this Ward 7 meeting last night. Next, Eric Flack, WSA9, about to join us here on the Hoffman Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see the beautiful face of television's Eric Flack, which must mean there's something going on with the RFK site. Flack, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? The only person who calls me beautiful is my mom. My girlfriend occasionally after I'm nice to her. But that's
well, what a trio of company I'm now in.
Exactly.
So, WUSA9's Eric Flack here. So last night, Mayor Bowser just kind of unannounced rolls out her plans for the RFK site. Like, how did this meeting come together? What was it supposed to be initially? And let's start there. Like, you know, you were at this meeting. Like, what were you expecting? And then what happened?
Well, it was I was walking into it thinking it was the Ward 7 council member, Wendell Felder, who's newly elected in November. And I thought this was going to be it was kind of billed as a community meeting, public meeting about the future of the RFK site. But it quickly became clear once I got there that this was a mayor Bowser production. She was there. Events DC was there. Her economic team was there. And while the council member there in Ward 7, this meeting happening at Eastern Senior High School in the shadows of RFK, really just blocks from RFK, while he did address the crowd of about 500 community residents who really packed that auditorium, it was really Mayor Bowser who really spoke the most and fielded the most questions. She had a pre-prepared PowerPoint slide deck where she kind of went through her argument of how we got to this point, how RFK, the history of RFK, the history of the site, how it, of course, ended up in that DC's hands, and the significance of the site and what where she sees the value of bringing the Commanders and building a stadium there for the city moving forward. So she kind of, to me, it felt like a soft launch for the series of community meetings she's going to have as she floats an idea. Of course, she has no details as far as the financials, at least publicly, didn't release on, you know, financially what she's thinking or, you know, when she talks about we can do it all because people have concerns about, you know, having retail, having housing, having green space, preserving, you know, fields for kids. You know, she says we can do it all. She didn't really provide any of those details. It was very much a 10,000 foot kind of like look at her reasoning and rationale for why she's going to pitch this Commander's return to RFK. But this was her first chance to kind of like lay it out there for the public, for reporters like me. And then she spent about an hour taking questions. So I think this was kind of a foreshadowing of a very passionate debate that we're going to have moving forward about not just the RFK site and the potential for a football stadium there, but really how much taxpayer money is going to be used for it and whether or not that's the right thing for DC.
So that was kind of the big breaking news, or the biggest news item, probably biggest headline, maybe is the best way to put that, out of that this, Eric, is that she, for the first time, was like, yep, there's going to be some taxpayer money involved. What is the range of options there in terms of how much and where that money comes from? You know, in terms of like, is it an extra sales tax? Is it a property thing? Like, there's a million different ways we can be taxed. And boy, do they think of new ones every single day. So, like, what kind of range of options are we potentially looking at here, and how is that received in the room?
Hoffman, they're very creative that way with how they tax us. There's going to be a couple of key differentiations. They're going to pay. She's going to certainly said clear cut. A resident said, can you commit here and now to not having any sort of a public subsidy, i.e. taxpayer money, for a stadium? Without hesitation, the mayor said no. She didn't explain herself. She didn't rationalize it. She didn't qualify it. She said no. So for the first time, I think that was the mayor laying down the gauntlet in with her voters and saying, I am going to advocate for taxpayer money to go to this stadium. Now, one key distinction, especially in Washington, D.C., is that money going to go to the infrastructure, the things D.C. owns, which is the roads and the, you know, the metro, the
stuff
concrete,
around the stadium that the makes concrete, it worth
yeah,
going to.
Yeah, that, how you get in and out, the fields, that sort of thing, the traffic lights. Is it going to be an investment into that? Or is the investment going to go beyond that? Because the investment into the infrastructure, which would come out of the capital budget, is kind of, you know, a pot of money that's already there. And it can be a very sizable number if she's talking about redoing the infrastructure around 177 acres around the RFK site. If she's going to go, that's an idea that at least, you know, has a pretty good chance of getting through DC Council, depending on what the figure is, because it's just a much more palatable way to invest in a stadium, because you're basically improving things. The argument goes that you would always already have to improve anyway, which is your roads and sidewalks and so forth. If the investment goes beyond the infrastructure, i.e. money for the building, money for the stadium, that's where things are going to get more tricky. And that's where she's really, really going to face potential pushback from DC council members. DC council chairman Phil Mendelson, who has long advocated against taxpayer money for a football stadium, even though he supported the money, the $500 million plus for Capital One Arena renovations, even mentioned to, you know, when he addressed, and this is hours after the mayor came out with kind of her plan, that you know, to him, investing in the infrastructure is a little bit different than, you know, giving the billionaire Josh Harris, you know, money for a stadium, money to make his $6 billion investment even more valuable. So we don't really know. The infrastructure piece comes out of the capital budget, the same roads and bridges and stuff that we're doing all around the city. We just take all those like nickels and dimes and push them all in the RFK pile. Right. If it's going to be more than that, that's when you're talking about having to either take from the general fund, which there's no money in the general fund because that's like paying cops and teachers and books and stuff like that. Or you're coming up with a new revenue source. And that's when you're talking about either a tax increase, or the idea has been floated, certainly, or theorized among, you know, reporters like me who have been covering this on the beat. The baseball tax, which paid for Nats Park, is set to sunset. It's set to end. It's a tax on businesses. You could conceivably extend that tax on businesses, and all of a sudden you have a new pot of money to just shift over to RFK. Or whatever replaces RFK.
Right. And or a football tax for any new businesses that open in that area, et cetera. But then that's then, you have to take out, I'm sure, a loan, which I'm sure they're going to do anyway. But then it gets into like really nitty gritty details of financing things. But you ultimately take out a loan, repay it with the tax, et cetera. Speaking of the baseball tax and Navy Yard, as Eric Flack, WSA9, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Mayor Bowser in the presentation and then ultimately what they put up on the website. First of all, may I be petty for a moment?
Sure.
Can I just point out something that I might be the only person that noticed this, but if we're going to trust you to do a multi-billion dollar project and we're going to be detail oriented and we're going to consult experts and we're going to do, can you use the Washington Spirit logo that hasn't been retired for 2 years? The current Washington Spirit logo is black and white. It has been that way for 2 years. The red, white, and blue logo has not been in use for a long time. And that's the one that the mayor's office put on the map. So to whoever did that, I hope you're watching, and I hope you change that on the website immediately.
I think that's probably Events DC. I mean, I would have to guess. I mean, that those types of things, I'm almost sure it's Events DC. And those Events are the DC. Little things. Yeah. I mean, those are the little things that matter that are big things, but...
If you just, yeah, right, it's just to build trust and be like, hey, we can trust you with being responsible. Like, you don't overlook things like using a logo. I mean, there's, I think, more controversial logos that they could use, but I don't want to open that can of worms in this conversation. The point is, Eric.
It's a different podcast.
Yes, indeed. Different podcast, different radio show, different everything. They talk about Navy Yard in this, and I think one of the big questions around this RFK site is, can they, in this multi-use system that they want to deploy, is there going to be affordable housing? And if Navy Yard is the blueprint, the answer is no. Because if you've been apartment shopping in Navy Yard, you know the word affordable isn't really in there unless you have a very, very large income. So how are they planning on selling this? And was this something that, in terms of the housing side of this and you know, trying to be there for the community and the city that needs that desperately, and how was that addressed in the room last night?
So she was asked about affordable housing. This plan that she rolled out did not have details. It was long on concepts and high ideals and short on details and nitty gritty. The way affordable housing works typically in DC is that developers get a tax break to build housing in these areas, and they are required to reserve X amount of units to be affordable, truly affordable.
So in other words, there are units in the same building that are the full price, if you will. And then there are some that if you presumably meet, and I actually, we were joking before we got on here about radio money. Buddy, when I was working in Dallas, I was well below the affordable housing line. My first job down there in Dallas, and I actually had a subsidized apartment in a building like that. So I presume that there's then a number in terms of either individual or household income where you receive a lower price on that same unit.
That's right. But here's the catch, and here's what we're seeing in Navy Yard now, is that the developer is only required to keep those affordable units for X amount of time. And that eventually you can sunset out of that to where all the units eventually are able to be priced at market rate. And that is, so they will be affordable for a while. But if you look at, you know, what's happening in Navy Yard now, Nats Park is 15, 16 years old, something like that. You know, I think it's old, you know, check me on that. And that's about, you know, that's about the age at which, you know, some of these units kind of come off and that affordable housing kind of goes away. And so, yeah, there's going to be affordable housing. There really will be. I guarantee you. Long term, though, the economic development, as we've seen in Navy Yard, ultimately wins out. And the long term, over the, you know, time space continuum, you end up in that, you know, gentrification space where, you know, ultimately it's all high priced housing, all very expensive units, and that's what we're seeing in Navy Yard. And you know, some would argue that's eventually what we're going to see in you know, the RFK site, if in fact this development takes place. And keep in mind, it's just going to be, you know, there's not that much room. I mean, regardless of how much housing they build, there's not that much room. I mean, there is going to be a stadium there. I think she said the stadium, first time I've heard this, is like 23, 25 acres. It's 177 acres. So there's land to do other stuff, you know. But we're still, you know, still yet to be seen on what the breakdown is going to be and how that promise is going to be fulfilled.
Yeah, Eric Flack, WSA9, with us. And I did double check since you asked. Nats opened Nats Park in 2008. So we're talking about 17 years ago at this point. We're actually almost right to that day. It was March 22nd of 2008 that the GW baseball team actually played the first game at Nats Park before the Nationals ultimately opened later that month with an exhibition against the Orioles. So, as you're talking to Eric about this RFK site and the latest, was there anybody from the Commanders there, or are they going to try to hang out in the background as long as possible and keep their hands clean, at least publicly? That way, if something does blow up and they wind up in Maryland or whatever, they just don't want to have to deal with it until like it's done.
Great question. There was nobody from the Commanders there. It felt a little bit early because there's no deal in place. My understanding is that it's likely the Commanders will also be holding meetings eventually when they're ready. The mayor indicated that this was the first of a number of public meetings she was going to have on the issue. And you expect that even though it was a packed room last night, these meetings will become more passionate, even more crowded. And as people mobilize, and again, I felt like yesterday was kind of a soft kind of opening when we're publicizing these meetings more. Hey, the mayor's going to have this meeting. You know, people are really going to kind of like come with their arguments and blazing and ready to go. And they did some to a certain extent last night. But the Commanders certainly, I think, are prepared to answer these questions. I think the Commanders are going to have their own presentation. I think that they would have probably hit the details of more than a stadium, more than the mayor did. I think the mayor referenced that, but was very short on, you know, specifics. I think the Commanders probably, when you see them go public, will be very intentional about what they have to say about a stadium plus. And they're going to hit the plus really, really hard because they know what the arguments against are, and they know that the best way to counteract that is to, you know, give people the answer before they ask the question. And so, you know, I think the Commanders were well aware this meeting was going to happen, and I think they were monitoring it very closely to see what the temperature in the room was among those 500 people. And I think, you know, probably pleasantly surprised that it wasn't a wild, you know, pushback. I think it was more, you know, if I had to, you know, speak in broad brushes, I think the crowd very much was like, we have questions, we have concerns, but we're open to the idea. If you can assure us, how are you going to make sure our worst fears aren't realized when it comes to parking, environmental impacts, congestion?
I'm glad you mentioned the environmental things. I want to ask you this real quick before we let you go. There was a report or some reporting earlier in the week, or maybe it was late last week, that apparently some of the green initiatives or some of the climate-based laws were waived, provisions, I don't know what the right word is, were waived for the Capital One Arena construction project, which I'm sure heightens the stakes for this one. What do you know about what Ted Leonsis doesn't have to do to follow the rules that everyone else does on this and Capital One? And then how do you think that ultimately impacts how the RFK negotiations go down?
You know, I think, you know, I'm not an environmentalist. So I would say that, you know, from my knowledge, waiving environmental regulations happens more probably than we'd like to know in major projects. Developments, yeah. Projects like this. Older buildings often have, you know, issues with them, especially when you're tearing down walls. Things that we have to deal with that aren't necessarily deemed, you know, that aren't used today. And so often to mitigate price and to make things realistic moving forward, you have to, you know, that's why waivers exist, to say, hey, you know, we don't have bad intentions here, but there are some, you know, regulations we're not going to meet. And I think, you know, for RFK, and I've done some reporting on it as well, that building is absolutely filled with asbestos. And they have had, that's why it took so much longer than we ever really anticipated, because they have paused the work there at RFK a number of different times.
I think I saw the demolition is going to take like 22 months.
Yeah.
We don't get a fun stadium implosion deal. They're going to take it apart piece by piece.
They have already started. I've been told that the interior is gone. It's really just a shell right now. And it's too congested. One of the challenges of building a new stadium there's residential like right there, you know, there's a river on the other side. Like, we can't have one of those fun implosions. Yeah. But I think that the environmental issues there have been mitigated. What they will not have to deal with, and why they won't have to get exemptions, and they are very aware, I think the Commanders are at least, of those environmental concerns, is that you're building a new building and there's no reason to waive environmental regulations with a new building. I think what we're dealing with at Capital One is you're dealing with an older building, and therefore you're kind of dealing with, you know, having to tear out walls and you know, deconstruct things that were built at a time long before our current environmental regulations kind of came into place.
Got it. So in some ways, it's the ability to keep some things in place that wouldn't pass code if they were new.
Yeah, I think
updating what you can.
It's for lack of a better term, I think, you know, Capital One likely got grandfathered in.
Gotcha.
Because of the age of the building.
Gotcha.
To get around some of those environmental regulations, but that wouldn't be an issue for a brand new structure like a football stadium.
Got it. All right. Eric Flack's got more on this. WUSA 9. You can check out their website. Obviously, you can watch him on television as well as the there'll be many more of meetings like this. I'm excited to see how
Love
these go.
And,
we're finally getting there.
We are getting there. It's starting to speed up.
We're getting closer. There's going to be a decision. I mean, do we think there's going to be a decision on the site in this calendar year? Like, by the time.
Oh, yeah. The mayor's budget is due first couple days of April. So, I mean, money for the stadium is going to have to be included in the budget. So, really,
we're going to know DC or Maryland by the end of the next. Oh my God, it's almost March already.
Yeah, 6 weeks. I think we got about 6 weeks from now.
Wow.
I mean, the budget will bleed out to council members, you know, before then, and you know, you would presume that the Commanders and Bowser would have a joint press conference to announce any deal. So, you know, I think we're looking at mid to late March, where if it's going to happen in D.C., the first announcement of an official agreement, you know, takes place.
Do you imagine like a Miles Garrett trade one day, and then you got a.
The Commanders will know better. They'll space out those news releases.
I don't know if Adam Peters is consulting the business side if he's trying to get Miles Garrett.
I guarantee you he's built. Yes, no, of course they are. This is not the old.
The Browns are not going to cooperate with that. The Browns can't cooperate with themselves.
Right. But then they're going to put off the stadium announcement. I'm telling you.
That's possible.
There's no way the Commanders drop a stadium and Miles Garrett in the same news cycle. There's 0.0 chance. I owe you steak dinner if they do. Right here, right now on your show.
I either get multiple news cycles in a time of the year when I appreciate a good news cycle because there's not as much things naturally going on, or a steak dinner. I just won this interview.
You just won.
Aaron Flack, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show.
All right, that's Eric with us. Again, we'll react to what he had to say about the RFK site and why the devil is in the details for all of this next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show, and we're brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device, and learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. Varun Shankar of the Washington Post is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock for Not My Beat today. He wrote a big feature on Alex Saar in the Post that's excellent. Saar and Bob Carrington and Bilal Koulibaly will be competing in the NBA's Rising Stars Challenge tonight. So it'll be fun to talk to Varun about this piece that he wrote on Alex, which is just tremendous in the Post. But Anthony, to wrap up the hour here, I want to dive back into the RFK stuff or continue diving into the RFK stuff now that folks have heard the conversation with Flack. Because I think, like, it's really easy if people don't pay attention, right? And this is sometimes, if we're just being blunt, what politicians rely on is people not being paying attention to the details. It is why some of the early Greek philosophers who were, you know, obviously democracy was invented back in ancient Greece, and they were like, this is a terrible idea. Because folks are not going to be informed enough to make good decisions on their own behalf. But I think, you know, when people talk about the affordable housing crisis in D.C. and then they don't bother to look at the details, then it's very easy to see how stuff like that slips through the cracks. And I think Eric did a really good job of explaining that in that interview, where there is 100% chance that if this all passes, there will be affordable housing to start around the RFK site, which is great. Like, we need it. There's not going to be room for too much stuff, but there will be room for some, and some is better than nothing. Great. Fantastic. But then what? Because these buildings are going to be probably more luxury buildings, and there will be, hey, if you're either household income or individual salary is under X amount, then you can get a subsidized rate. So that luxury apartment becomes affordable for you, but maybe only for a certain amount of time. And that those details really matter, because considering where we are as a country with our housing crisis situation and like our generation specifically, and like I'm frankly not interested in buying a house. Because the market is so bad right now. They're so expensive. The mortgage rates are outrageous that I think paying less money in rent to just have the roof over my head, even though I'm not building equity, is worth it for me right now and for where I'm at in my life and my family's at in our lives. And I would love for that to change. I would love for that to get to a point, although it's nice to just be able to call someone and be like, hey, this is broken. Call your landlord, call your apartment building, whatever. And when you're a homeowner, you got to deal with that stuff. But it's worth it if you can build equity over time. And like, we are the first generation to have less money than our parents and have fewer opportunities than our parents because of the way the economics of our country have changed. And so if they're going to build these affordable housing and sell the headline, sell up here, hey, affordable housing gets built as part of the RFK site, but it's not something that anybody that is looking to make their status in life better can buy. Sure, you can live in a really nice apartment subsidized by the government, by the city, by whatever other, by the company, however those details work. You can live there, even if you can live there for 15 years, and then those disappear. That's not actually changing the economic picture that we're currently dealing with. And I know that's really not that exciting, and certainly not if you're tuning in to hear about the top 100 free agents on the, you know, and who the Commanders are interested in, what you thought you'd be hearing today. But like, this is going to be a discussion that is happening, and it's going to happen rapidly. Like, I did not realize that we are like 6 weeks away potentially from knowing the answer of would the Commanders return to RFK. And that's basically what Flack said at the end, because the budget is due. And unless this is going to get pushed off one more year, because the budget is due early enough in 2026 that the Commanders and the city push it off into one more year, we're going to know soon. So I think it's important that, especially for sports fans who are going to be more swayed by the idea of having the Commanders at RFK, but are also trying to make sense of, hey, what do I actually want as a citizen of the district? If you're a DC resident, or frankly, like if you're someone who's in Maryland and wrestling with some of the same issues, like I think we owe it to the audience to be honest and to get into some of this in a little bit more detail. And I think that kind of detail in terms of not just what's available in the short term, but like this is a long-term project. What are the long-term implications are absolutely something that belong on our show.
Yeah, I like your perspective on, you know, the whole housing thing. And just being a resident of the district, like we've seen, especially on the south side, like where RFK is, like, again, I live across the bridge from it. So I know what it used to look like and how it looks like now, the differences from, you know, when I was growing up to like what it is now. And I'm not going to say like they're slowly but surely like, you know, moving, I guess, African-Americans out, but that's sort of kind of like what it's given. And I feel like
it's exactly what's happening. There's been a gentrification of this city over the course of time, based off of rent prices and amongst other things that have just moved folks out. And whether it is intentionally, I'm going to use the word, ooh, everybody ready, put your big boy pants on and big girl pants on, whether it's intentionally racist or the way the demographics work in terms of income inequality along racial lines, it is something that is happening by happenstance.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into that because it's probably a mix of both, and I'm not trying to ascribe any motive to any singular person. And again, that is probably a different show.
Yeah.
But the gentrification of DC is absolutely real. And, you know, yes, will people buy those luxury apartments if they make them luxury apartments? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But who is buying them and then who is displaced by that matters. And like people don't like on a functional baseline basis, people do not want to be moved from their homes. Like, especially if your family has lived there for a long time. And so well, you can be like, oh, well, that's business. It's like, no, these are people's homes. And we should have the humanity to take that into consideration as we consider this whole situation. And I certainly hope that the people that have lived there for generations and would like to continue living there get that kind of say and have the opportunity to do so, whether it's in their current homes or moving across the street into something that's different, but like it's still something they can afford to not just live in temporarily and then eventually get priced out of, but like own and have the next multiple generations of their family live there.
Yeah, and the houses over there are actually like houses. So a lot of those houses have probably been passed down, or, you know, it's probably a family house. And a lot of people have those houses. So it would be, you know, sad to see those people displaced just because of what the area is meant to them. Like, you got Rosedale, you got 17th Street, you got Benning Road, like right up the block as well. So even when they got the Audi practice field, over there, some people got, you know, displaced and stuff. So it's just, I don't know, man. It's tough. It is tough.
It's tough. You want to make sure the cities continue to move forward. You want things to get modernized. You don't want people to get left behind. And you don't want to just leave stuff in place that leaves people behind to be like, oh, well, we didn't gentrify it. And it's like, oh, so you just left people behind? And that's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying that any of this is easy. What I am saying is that there should be great care taken and that we should demand that of our leaders as we make a decision about a football team and where they're going to play 10 times, hopefully closer to 12 times per year, some home playoff games. Let's go, Jaden. But that's 12 days. Add in 3 Beyonce concerts, add in 4 Taylor Swift concerts, add in, you know, whatever else, you know, we already missed out on the World Cup. Who knows when that'll be back. Thanks, Dan. But it's a complicated, like, on a baseline level, do I want to see the Commanders return to RFK?
Yeah,
absolutely. Do I acknowledge that the path to get there is filled with a million details that are tricky and some of which might cause me to eventually go, I didn't get solved in the way I think it should, and back off that stance? Yeah, I reserve the right to change my mind, and that's up to Mayor Bowser and the team and anybody else who's putting forth this project to convince us all
over the next couple of weeks here as they make this decision, and then ultimately whether there's a vote on it or however that's going to go down, specifically within Ward 7 over there in the actual neighborhood. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, let's talk some hoops with Varun Shankar of the Washington Post. The Wizards beat reporter for the Post had a tremendous, tremendous profile on Alex Sarr. Remember that 0-for-15 game he had this summer, Anthony?
Yep.
Turns out that was a really big turning point for him in a really tremendous way, and Varun wrote about it. You'll hear us talk about that, because I'm going to ask him about it next on the Team 980.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.